It's hour number two. Share the live feeds now. We're about to expose Disney and then come back with the Hantavirus, COVID 2.0.
In a shocking raid that shatters the already damaged wholesome facade of the most magical place on Earth, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents boarded five cruise ships in San Diego between April 23rd and 25th, which included Disney's Magic, netting 28 arrests for child sexual exploitation material. Three of those nabbed were Disney cruise staffers, with passengers left stunned as crew members, including one family's server, were cuffed right in front of them during disembarkation. Authorities confirmed involvement in receiving, possessing, distributing, or viewing child pornography, primarily among foreign crew from the Philippines, Portugal, and Indonesia.
Crew member on board the Disney Dream was arrested for possession of child pornography after authorities received nine separate tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. A 28-year-old Filipino crew member had his phone seized when the ship arrived at the port, and authorities found multiple photographs of children engaged in sexual acts, some of which were under 10 years of age. He apparently was sharing these photos with a group of other such individuals on a Facebook group.
Meanwhile, liberal mouthpieces like Kathy Griffin are outraged that the pedos were arrested and deported. Because, of course they are. Disney issued the standard corporate boilerplate about zero tolerance and cooperation, but the pattern here is impossible to ignore.
Then there's Xavier Jackson. He's 27.
He is accused of sending sexual images to someone he thought was a 14-year-old girl.
Oh, did I mention that he just happens to be a lifeguard at the Polynesian Resort for Disney? Well, why do people like Paul Vail work at Disney? Because that's where the children are. He had 540 counts of child pornography, from newborns to 8 years of age.
Deputies stormed their Davenport home, the one with Mickey and Minnie out in the front yard and a security jacket hanging in the car. Inside, they say they found child porn on Thomas Wheeler's computer, with kids ranging in age from 9 to 11 engaged in various sex acts.
Detectives arrested 10 men and a 16-year-old boy as part of an undercover child pornography investigation. One of the men worked as a project manager at Walt Disney World. Another worked at Legoland.
Investigators telling us that this pastor and also a Disney hotel employee was downloading child porn images while on the job, but apparently he was also doing more.
Disney put a system in place to take screen captures every 3 seconds, recording Cuthbert's every move, even as he wrote an Easter sermon while he watched the videos.
This is how investigators say the Disney worker solicited at least one boy through his Xbox.
Charles Proctor, he's a 56-year-old electrician at Disney World. Proctor is charged with 11 counts of possessing child porn.
A Disney boat driver sits now in the Orange County jail, charged with more than a dozen counts of possessing and trading child pornography.
This man, Richard Morgan, has been taken into custody, accused of molesting a young girl. He is a stage tech at Disney World.
A Disney employee busted, say investigators, for chatting online and trying to meet what he thought was a dad and his 8-year-old daughter for sex. Federal prosecutors say Frederick Pohl of Claremont was surprised when he got to an Orlando hotel. There was no girl, only investigators waiting to arrest him.
And this man is waiting to go to trial. Polk County deputies arrested him last year for having child porn. Of course, Disney isn't the only theme park with cases like this. Employees from SeaWorld, Legoland, and Universal have also been arrested for similar crimes.
State police have just arrested a SeaWorld employee on charges of making and sharing child porn.
Some downtown Disney visitors are shocked tonight as word spreads that an employee there was arrested and charged with molesting a 9-year-old boy earlier this month.
How deep does this rot go in an organization that markets directly to kids? Passengers filming the chaos on the docks weren't just witnessing arrests. They were seeing the mask slip on a billion-dollar machine that profits from trust it lost years ago. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. the CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Bad luck wind been blowing at my back. I was born to bring trouble to wherever I'm at. Got the number 13 tattooed on my neck. When the ink starts to itch, then the black will turn to red. I was born in the soul of misery. Never had me a name. They just gave me the number when I was young. Got a long line of heartache, I carry it well. The list of lives I've broken reach from here to hell. Bad luck wind been blowing at my back. I pray you don't look at me, I pray I don't look back.
All right, we're into hour number two. One of the smartest guys out there is a lawyer and very popular talk show host and very, very smart, Viva Fry. And, I mean, I'm scratching myself how historic the developments are right now and how obvious they are. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, 3 days ago, telling Trump, you got to shut this down. You're not going to put in ground troops. You can't reopen the strait. Go with your own Pentagon assessment. You said this was just about getting rid of their weapons. That was a lie. Israel wants to commit you to a total war. This is all over the news. And bizarrely, when this broke last night, they had all the neocon bots out saying it wasn't true, it wasn't real. So Trump's telling you the war's over, but it really is expanding. Saudi Arabia blocks it by saying you can't use our airspace, where all our bases are. It's the same with Kuwait. And then they go, oh, that's not real. I mean, the level of delusion is insane. Of course, today it's all confirmed. It was confirmed then. So what does Israel do? Do they do a false flag? No, I don't think so. Maybe. They move to the hantavirus. And I've got all the pieces to this. And the cruise ship and all of it looked like it was some type of staged event. And that would take an hour to go into. But I've held my tongue the last 4 or 5 days, 6 days, studying this. Did you know on that whole ship, only two people posted anything the whole time? And they're both travel reporters, and they both posted basically the same statements, the similar photographs, and no one else in the ship ever from the time, week before even the infection happened, ever posted anything. There's no record of anything. And I said, well, let's see suddenly if hantavirus pops up all over the world all of a sudden, and the EU calls for masking, and they call for shutting down air travel. That's now happening. And the UN is roared out as the savior and needs their world treaty. So right as this war looks like it might start getting shut down, which I said was COVID 2.0 for the globalists to make us poor and control us and create an energy crisis, which we've seen the head of BlackRock and the head of WEF brag about a few weeks ago, Larry Fink, now comes the virus. Then we've got the Epstein hearings yesterday and all of that with Lednick. We've got so much more with Viva Fry. You can find him at The Viva Fry, The V-I-V-A-F-R-E-I. Also does vivabarneslaw.locals.com, co-host with Robert Barnes, another one of my favorite guests, but extremely smart as well. And so, and by smart, I mean he has a historical grasp, legal grasp, and a great track record of accuracy. You want to know who's back over and over again? Whoever's right. Birds of a feather fly together. So Viva, I want to get into this. I know there's other topics you want to get into as well, but wow, is this not really good news? This is the last 30 times Trump said the war was over to the stock market. This is Saudi Arabia and Kuwait saying, nope, it's over. And then days before they said this even happened, suddenly Rubio 2 days ago was like, oh, offensive operations have ended. And I went, well, how do we trust that? You said that a bunch of times before. Well, now we know it looks like it's real. The question is, what does Israel do, who we know is committed to dragging us into full war from day one? Viva Fry, your take on this.
Well, it's more of the same. I don't know what to make of it. It's now been 2.5 months of the war that's not a war, that was strategic strikes, that's not turning into a forever war. And there have been the folks on the MAGA, MAHA populist side saying, just declare victory and leave and get back to domestic issues. You know, the most interesting data point, and again, it's not a dot that I'm connecting, it's just a dot that's out there now, is the Nick Shirley trip to Cuba, where he was just on the Patrick Bet David podcast. I haven't listened to the entire thing. And I, you know, I'm sometimes I'm not slow, but sometimes I'm reluctant to jump on conspiracy theory bandwagons. Let the information come in. I'm still undetermined, undecided about this hantavirus cruise ship thing. But people were jumping on a conspiracy that Nick Shirley is a state operative going to Cuba now to put out the Mockingbird propaganda 2.0 to try to get public support behind intervention with Cuba. And I was a little reluctant. I just, chalk it up to a young kid trying to be, courageous, trying to make a name and going to stupid countries asking for trouble. But now, I'm seeing the clips of him coming on Patrick Bet David saying, this is an easy W. And jokingly, Patrick Bet David played a clip of Donald Trump saying, on our way back from Iran, we're going to bring our warships and park it 100 meters off the coast of Cuba and they're going to give up. So, whether or not they're going to have to just, find a way to get out and declare victory from Iran, get back to domestic issues for the upcoming midterms, but on the way, maybe try to have not another distraction, but go for Cuba as a small W win before coming home. I don't know. That piece that is now out there is interesting, and it certainly does lend some, not some credibility, but it does lend some credence to what people thought might have been an operation from the beginning of Nick Shirley going to Cuba to come up with anti-communist propaganda to somehow, justify, promote public sentiment of what would be more of a Venezuelan-type conflict in Cuba than an Iranian-type conflict in Iran on the way back. So those are the data points that I'm looking at right now. But one thing is for certain, Alex, we don't need anybody to say this anymore. The conflict in Iran must come to an end, and Trump must start getting back to 2024 campaign promises, MAGA, MAHA coalition, get back to domestic issues, get back to indictments.
There's no doubt, it's killing the Republicans in the midterms. There's no doubt it's already causing shockwaves in the global economy. But I've known Nick Shirley since he showed up 3 years ago on the scene at like 17 years old. He'd have 500 views on YouTube, and we were getting him on as a guest. Nick is a patriot. He believes in the public plan of Trump to put pressure on Cuba with an oil blockade out of Venezuela, to collapse it because the Chinese control Cuba, to control Venezuela, to control Mexico, to control us. That is a larger strategic plan that's out in the open. So I think Nick is, and boy, you go to Cuba as a reporter and mess with them, they do arrest you. They do come after you. So I'm surprised they haven't arrested him. I've seen it. I see it. It's not like he's working for the CIA or something. Nick runs around like a chicken with his head cut off in a good way, everywhere, covering everything, exposing massive fraud, getting huge success in California, Minnesota, you name it. I mean, I know people are saying, oh, look, he must be an agent. No, that's the big story, is Cuba and the starvation and, all the insanity and it ready to topple. But you're right, Trump does want that, and publicly Rubio wants that. And at the end of the day, that's in our hemisphere. They've been in our grill. It would help the Cubans if the country did fall. But I'm concerned, like I said before we took out Maduro, they would just put a same regime or worse in, and they put the vice president communist in and aren't having elections. So, okay, the oil's flowing. Is that really helping the people? You know, just like, okay, we get rid of Assad and put the head of Al-Qaeda in. So that's why I'm, again, doubly against it. I was like, I said, look, academically, I'm for freeing, you know, Cuba and Venezuela, but I don't believe our evil institutions would then replace it with a real election and freedom. So, you know, one-dimensionally, I'm for regime change, but not two-dimensionally, because bad guys run this foreign policy that never is good.
Well, no, and it's true. By the way, I was not saying that Nick Shirley is an asset of the state. He might be one of the elements that, you know, a deep state or, you know, an administration might like to use as a pawn, for example. Like, I think he's...
No. I know you're not saying that. Oh, 100%. Hold on, 100%. Nick talks to everybody. He talks to the White House, Border Patrol. He gets intel. 100% there. Hey, kid, great job. Help us bring him down. But I'm saying he knows that as a true believer. It's not like it's a secret. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, that was one of my observations, is everybody knows how bad communism is already. Like I was saying, Nick Shirley is pushing an envelope like Otto Warmbier was pushing in North Korea when he thought, you know, it might be funny to steal a poster, and you don't go to third world communist hellholes to document their tyranny. And it's not like anybody needed Nick Shirley.
Well, that's why
street.
We send 20-year-olds to war. They're full of piss and vinegar, you know, and I mean, the point is he's a hero. The guy's a badass. And I'm just saying,
there's a line.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just say for his own self-preservation, there's a fine line between heroism and recklessness. Going to Cuba is really pushing, especially as a recognizable journalist.
But you could say that about me going into Bohemian Grove. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, Alex, I would say that was really on the line of craziness and not on the line of braveness. But one hell of it's always great when you survive it. But the way that, you know, it's now being shifted from a war with Iran, which was, you know, people, even those who are against the war or the intervention in Iran, were like, at least Venezuela's in our hemisphere. We can understand the practical, immediate, hemispheric benefit from doing it, especially since it's less of a...
And we have precedent, Monroe Doctrine, Barbary War, gunboat diplomacy.
Yeah, and so whether or not they're looking to Cuba as the distraction W, you know, to normalize relations, free the Cubans from their, you know, tyrannical government, it might be an easier W. We just
need I get your larger point. No, I agree. Trump was emboldened by Venezuela. He admits. I first predicted. They admit. He goes. He even told Tucker, "Oh, it looks so well in Venezuela. Don't worry, this won't go bad." 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, when they talked the last time and had a big shouting match, I'm told what was in the New York Times was true. Trump got emboldened by Venezuela, runs into Iran. Now it won't be emboldened. He'll want kind of like a consolation prize of Cuba. I think you're right.
As a consolation distraction, and also, not, you know, the timing-wise, again, China coming out and saying they're going to defy the sanctions, which is going to potentially broaden the conflict to now implicate or involve China directly. So they need to get out. It's been now, we're going on 3 months, so it's no longer just strategic strikes. It's no longer about a specific objective, which ought to have been achieved, you know, months ago, at least by the declarations it has been.
And let's remember, 2 weeks ago, we're told, oh, now they'll fall in 4 months. Remember that? So now it's 4 months. We're moving the goalpost here.
Well, the goalposts have been moved repeatedly from it's not a war to it's not a forever war. And now we're 3 months in, and there have been vocal voices out there saying we've got to reassess after 2 to 3 months, because it never starts off as a forever war. And yeah, whether or not the devastation is worse than what is being reported, and we'll find out after.
Well, let's be clear. Korea, Vietnam, they all started as just limited advisors. They always just slowly sleepwalk you into a full war. You're absolutely right.
No, absolutely. Well, Iraq was declared victory before it became a forever war. So, you know, not, this isn't Iraq. We're told it's not Iraq. It might be more difficult and more complicated than Iraq. But set that aside. It's midterm season now. You've got to get back to some basics. I think what's happened, maybe, and I cross my fingers, the administration has seen the positive feedback you get from the MAGA MAHA coalition when you indict the SPLC, when you indict Comey, when you come back for actual promised justice and retribution at home, as opposed to fracturing a base and arguably violating campaign promises or coalition promises with yet another foreign war in the Middle East. So, you know, that's where it's at. The hantavirus, I don't see it playing into any of this just yet. I just posted it yesterday, still trying to wrap my head around what people are suggesting is the broader, deeper conspiracy theory or conspiracy there. But with Iran, it doesn't seem to be getting, better. It seems to be getting more complicated, involving now bigger players and China coming in and effectively saying, we're going to defy, by our domestic law, any sanctions. What are you going to do about it? And that's going to be now a challenge that's no longer about a non-nuclear armed Iran, but a nuclear armed China that is saying, this is causing global issues that we're not just going to sit by and put up with anymore.
No, but absolutely. But let's go back to the big issue here. Saudi Arabia kept this quiet, and I've confirmed this all happened. They admit it. The White House is not denying it now. Almost 3 days ago, the Crown Prince calls Trump and says, this is killing the economy. All the Arab states are about to join against this. This is a lie. We supported limited strikes to stop their missile capability and nukes, but you can't fly over us anymore, and a bunch of other countries are about to do it. Then the Pentagon runs to Kuwait and says, because that's the last country they had to fly over, no, you can't either. And then the Crown Prince reportedly had another phone call and said, see, I told you, everybody's turning against us. It's losing. It's not working. Pull out, declare victory, dummy. Just what Joe Kent told him 5 weeks ago. So what the entire Pentagon said, don't do it. So Saudi Arabia said, fine, you want to do it, roll the dice. Now they're like, don't do it. And so this is a big deal. I think this is going to finally bring it to an end. It may take a few weeks, a few months of negotiations. But then I'm really worried about Israel as a wild card, as a joker here, attacking Iran again, as they said they'll keep doing, or doing a false flag. What's your view on that? Is this a big deal?
Those types of predictions involve, I won't say casting aspersions, but they involve damning an accusation to some extent. That it's always a risk. I mean, for one thing,
hold on, you're a lawyer. Israel has hundreds of admitted false flags they pulled. Levon, oh, yeah, the list goes on. USS Liberty. So I'm just saying, Israel will do any damn thing it wants. Netanyahu's a madman out of control. I don't think if somebody's already had five murder convictions and been let out of prison, and there's a murder on the street, maybe they're a suspect. I mean, come on. That is not casting aspersions. Okay, well, let me ask you this. What do you think Israel's going to do? Because Israel doesn't ever give up. It doubles down.
They might continue the strikes, and then at some point, I don't know, you know, the argument is that Netanyahu needs to continue a war in order to avoid jail and avoid calling elections. And
well, that's a fact. That's a fact.
No, it's a fact. It's also a fact that I'm not trying to cut. The problem is when I say it like this, no matter what happens, if it's a bona fide attack, if it's a bona fide false flag, there are going to be people who are going to say it was a false flag, no matter how much of a bona fide attack it might have been. And so, something.
But hold
on,
if Iran wants to end a war, why are they going to launch a nerve gas attack with a terrorist in Bethlehem or something like that? You got to look at motive here.
Well, no, I mean, first of all, the Syrian, you know, Assad gassing his own people not only succeeded, people still believe it to this day. So why would they? People who are educated might say there would be no strategic reason for doing it. The others are going to say because he's a terrorist madman, and that's what terrorist madmen do. The reality is that Netanyahu has been on a quest to have regime change in Iran or have regime change everywhere, and chaos in Iran would probably be the preferred state of affairs for Netanyahu and not stable regime change, and that's been the way it's been for a very long time. The only question is how much of a short leash Netanyahu thinks that he's actually on and whether or not he's going to be living with the reality that Trump telling him, do whatever you want to do, you're going to be on your own. And then I know people are going to go to the Samson Doctrine and say, that's as much of a wild card, unpredictable situation.
Yeah, we now have a Colin Powell email declassified where Israel had 200 nukes pointed at Tehran alone.
Oh, we still, but still unconfirmed as to whether or not they have nukes and then why that would be the case because, greatest ally explanation.
Jonathan Pollard gets on TV and brags, they've got nuclear weapons.
Well, I mean, the Samson Doctrine doesn't make sense if they don't. So let's set that aside. Whether or not they do it, you just hope that there's some self-preservational common sense, maybe not with Netanyahu, but with the Israeli population at large, that at some point everyone's always going to say, well, you can't allow for a nuclear-armed Iran. At some point also, you can't have a country, I say as small as Israel, despite its technological advances and whatever, you can't have a country living in perpetual war with 100+ million, call them enemies for lack of a better word, neighbor them. It's not a sustainable existence model. And Netanyahu has been operating on the sort of destabilize and create chaos so that they can't coalesce and be sort of some sort of organized.
No, I agree. Now that the whole world's turning against Israel, lowest approval rating in the world of any country in Gallup, they're trying to rope us in to have the final confrontation. It's insane.
Well, and that is another reality that, I mean, I think even, American Democrat, left-leaning, the Jewish population are starting to appreciate. A lot of it was built on goodwill, which promoted and continued the, greatest ally, we must support them at all costs.
No, I mean, Israel was the underdog when eight countries were attacking and stuff, but not now.
Well, they might still be the underdog right now, but then at some point also, even the underdog is going to have to at some point abandon its decades-long objective of regime change after regime
change. Yeah, but now they've already wiped out most of their enemies in the surrounding areas and Iranian proxies. They're all delusional about greater Israel now and already selling timeshare apartments in southern Lebanon.
There's many things that are a problem, which people were saying, from the offset or the onset after October 7th, that this was going to go places, and whether or not you thought it was a stand down or a let it happen on purpose type thing, people who were called anti-Semites and promoting crazy conspiracy theories have been vindicated in the sense of where this has actually gone in the 3 years since. The reality is, at some point, someone's going to have to rein in Netanyahu and say, you can't always get what you want. And if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And
yeah, somebody ought to sit him down and play that Rolling Stone song.
Well, there's no question. And if after 3 months of, devastating military campaign, the objective, the initially stated objective has not been achieved, one of two things is true. Either the initial objective was never the actual objective, or you're not able to achieve it, and in which case, neither are particularly good outcomes.
Well, let's be clear. They've got two outcomes. Get rid of the uranium. It's a cat and mouse game. You'll never find it. Of course, they've got a bunch of it. They've already taken out most of the delivery systems. That was the sub excuse, though it's a concern. But it's all about regime change. It was always about that. And they didn't, and like the Pentagon said, it ain't going to happen, Trump.
Well, not only is it ain't going to happen, when everyone was saying, no, the Iranians are going to rally behind America and say, thank you for liberating us. They'll be on the streets fighting the regime. And then we said, well, that's what you said about Iraq. And they said, well, this isn't Iraq, this is Iran. And now it's been 3 months, you haven't been seeing it. And all you've been seeing are excuses as to why. Oh, the internet's blacked out, they can't coalesce. Oh, they don't want to go out when they're bombing because they're going to get bombed. The bottom line, everything that everyone had warned about this being Iraq 2.0 has come to fruition. So the only question now is, have they done enough damage to set back the regime a sufficient period of time? That was what we were told after the strikes.
Well, that's
in July,
what Joe Kent said, it's what I'm saying. Trump has a chance in major polls. Still 76% of Americans think we've won because they still think it's about taking out the missiles and nukes. Great. Declare victory and stop it because of the economy, because of inflation, and because of this war escalating where it goes after that, a whole Middle Eastern war.
Hey, well, the other question is going to be whether or not the spill-off effect is already too far to rein in. You're getting to $5 gas in America, and you're getting to people putting the stickers on. I did that, except instead of Biden, it's Trump. And now at this point, the short-term pain for long-term gain pivot is not necessarily resonating anymore. So at some point, and I think this is the point, declare victory. If you haven't achieved the victory after 3 months of bombardment, blockades, and whatever, if you haven't achieved the victory, that's a bigger problem. Say you have. Most people will believe that you did. And in fact, you probably did achieve the initial stated objective, which is setting them back. And then, I don't know, go back to diplomatic methods, maybe. Now, whether or not you think you can't negotiate with terrorists, then don't negotiate with them anymore and just say that you're not going back to any negotiating table. But this idea that they're so irrational, it's a terrorist regime, you can't negotiate with them, so let's try to, get back to negotiations, mutually incompatible. Declare that this has been a sufficient military objective achieved.
But that's what the Pentagon said this was going to end like, but here's the deal. Yeah, okay, I don't like the mullahs. They do bad stuff. They do execute people. I don't like them. I'm a well-known Islamophobe, okay, and an expert on Islam, okay, Shiite and Sunni. But you compare the U.S. and Israel, blowing up schools, carbon bombing everything, trying to call them terrorists. Oh, they killed our Marines in the 80s. Okay, I'm mad about it. They killed a couple hundred people. Now we killed hundreds of thousands. This is bully behavior. The whole world sees it, and it's making us look like absolute criminals. We'll be right back with Viva Fry to talk about COVID 2.0, the Hunter virus. This is big, folks. Stay with us. I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning. But I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, or even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directives.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are an hour and a half in this global transmission. I want to get into the hantavirus, and the signs I see that what we're being told isn't true. It's on a cruise ship, but there's no real history of all the people on the cruise ship putting out any social media except for two travel reporters that don't post it themselves. It goes right to CBS News and other major broadcasters. And then they both post photos of penguins that are very similar. And then, you know, three have died on the ship, but everything's okay and everybody's fine. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's in Singapore. Oh, it's in all these other countries. Oh, it's in Israel. And the EU's like, wear mask again. And we need to lock everybody down. And the EU comes out and the UN head comes out and says, don't worry, the UN's ready to respond and save you. Now, this is a global emergency. I want to go through this with Eva Frey, who's a smart talk show host and lawyer. And then this is a big story, and I've been researching it during the breaks. But we already had a report out yesterday special report, Disney is disgusting, their obsession with pedophilia, basically the whole operation. You've got Lindsey Graham, when he's starting wars, he goes and spends 3 days with the princess wand wandering around Disney World there in Orlando. Well, now this, New York Post, Disney cruise ship staffers among 28 arrested in massive child porn operation. They raided a whole bunch of ships. Families helping to make memories on the cruise were unknowingly surrounded by alleged child predators working aboard the ships, according to law enforcement officials. Yeah, where do you think the spiders come, where the flies are? U.S. Customs and Border Patrol protection, 5 cruise ships, including the Disney cruise docked in San Diego between April 23rd and 25th, as part of an ongoing child sexual exploitation material enforcement operation, CBP spokesman told the California Post. After boarding the vessels and interviewing 26 suspects, crew members from the Philippines, one suspected crew member from Portugal, and another from Indonesia, officers confirmed all subjects were involved in either the receipt, possession, or transportation or distribution of viewing CSEM on child pornography. And it goes on from there. You know, remember Heidecker, produced for Adult Swim, the guys that have taken over the Onion with Bloomberg, about, we've got child clown cruises where you get to rape the children on the cruises. That's so much fun. We got to poison them, but don't poison them too much. You got a dead kid. That's so fun. And then I didn't play the clip yesterday, but very well-known comedians have gone public on the Jimmy Dore Show. In fact, I'll get to this later after everybody's, because I got Mike Adams coming next hour. I'm going to go ahead and play the clip of a well-known comedian saying, oh, no, these people, I know them personally. They are Satanists. Well, when you're obsessed with your comedy is the most hardcore Satanism in terms I didn't even know. I had to go research. It's like hardcore dark web. This is 10 years ago, 5 years ago, before this was even known. I mean, whoa, look at our enemies. Look who they are. Oh, gosh, we've got the sex slavery. Have your way with the children on the ship. So much fun. Written by Tim Heidecker. And now you got this. Wonder what kind of cruises he's been on. What's on his hard drive? I don't know. I'm just saying. All right, going back to Viva Fry here. Viva, you want to cover the Disney thing first? Let's just, I know I just sprung this on you. Let's hit Disney and just your overall take with the Onion saying they own us. They don't. They fell for the second time, but the court ordered the building shut, so they're now still announcing they own it, selling paraphernalia, everything else. They're in big trouble in court, been blocked by more courts. We're in court tomorrow in Houston, or my lawyers are. Just a brief little, your take on this, and then any comments on the censorship situation. I want to shift gears to the Hantavirus.
You know, have you seen, I mean, it's been a long time. The movie Road Trip? It was Road Trip. And the female actress in the movie, at one point she's on a bus and this the perverted guy happens to be the director of the movie, licks her toes. And then she just says, like, are there any normal people out there? The more I just hear about, you know, the amount of people who are getting arrested who have, you know, I won't say positions of power within movements, but people in these entities that are busted for the most heinous of all crimes. And like, I'm left here thinking, I appreciate I'm somewhat eccentric and quirky and have my whatever, you know, unique habits in terms of like being a weirdo. But everybody is a flipping criminal weirdo in life, it seems. And they hide in plain sight. And like you astutely observe, like they go to the places where they are, in, you know, allowed to, enable to, or have access to the objects of their perversions. And you hear of these stories growing up. They make their jokes, you know, very public jokes, like Seth MacFarlane making his, you know, his Weinstein jokes, like Ricky Gervais making their jokes. They all know that it goes on. They indicate it to the public, either as some sort of confession for fear of their sins, or as a, you know, showing how much power they have. They can actually publicly joke about it. It's repulsive. And I, you know, I don't know what the solution is. I, you know, people make the wood chipper joke very often, but this is demonic level perversion to the extent it's going to, you know, bear out in courts and everyone's innocent until proven guilty, et cetera. And, you know, to the extent the FBI is not planting CP on these people's computers, which I don't believe they are. It's just, you know, par for the course. It's perversion.
Well, also remember how the Disney cruise lines for decades went to Jeffrey Epstein's island.
I wasn't aware of.
Yeah,
that.
No, they would pull up there and then they would snorkel and do a beach trip there. And now Lutnick, who said he never talked to him after the first time he met him. Turns out went to his island, did all this stuff years later. But he said he was never alone, though. He always brought his children, so it was okay. Luddy testifies he can't recall why his family lunched on Epstein Island.
Well, that much I do remember, because during the debacle of the Epstein rollout, and I was hypothesizing that, you know, I didn't think anything was incriminating on Trump in particular, but it would certainly embarrass people within his orbit. And then when it became disclosed that Lutnick had gone to the island with his nanny and his wife and his kids, and this was after he had told Miranda Devine in an interview, though it wasn't under oath, that he had a one and done with Epstein when he went to his apartment. That was his literal next door neighbor. And then Jeffrey Epstein said, you know, do you like massages? The right kind of massages. And he was so creeped out, he said, one and done, I'm done with this guy, never seeing him again. And then, embarrassingly enough, for whatever the reason, finds himself lunching with nannies and kids and his wife on the island. Again, not attributing any nefarious deeds until evidence to the contrary comes out, just to highlight whether it's political pressure, whether it's him knowing that he did something wrong. It's all disgusting. It's all very gross and grotesque, and which is why I say, you know, like, stick to your family, stick to a small orbit of people that you can actually trust, and don't trust anybody out there, because they prove themselves to be not just fundamentally untrustworthy, demonic. And when, you know, when you show those clips of, at some point, whether or not it becomes an inside joke, like, let's see how many insignia of child pornography we can actually slip in to kids' cartoons, sort of like the Tyler Durden slipping in male penis in one splice in kids' cartoons, just as a gaffe, whether or not it's a gaffe or whether or not it's them telling you what they're doing. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. We know that Hollywood is a cesspool of demonic pedophilic behavior. So too is Disney, it would seem. And everyone should just stay the hell away from it, because you're asking for trouble by going there, it would seem, by their own conduct, by their own arrests, and by their own employees.
Absolutely. Now, getting into the hantavirus, researching it for years, they're not even really sure it goes human to human. They think maybe, but it's almost rat and mice to human. That's what last year, the year before, there in New Mexico, Gene Hagman's wife, he was had Alzheimer's and was old with heart trouble. She got it, didn't get the hospital help. She died. When they finally got there, it was a German Shepherd guarding their bodies after, you know, 2 weeks they were decomposing. But they said it was hantavirus did it. Hantavirus. Well, now all of a sudden, oh, it's in Argentina. Oh, it's on this cruise ship. Oh, it's spreading. Now it's in Singapore. Now it's in Israel. Right when the UN comes out and says, don't worry, we're in control, we'll fix it. Maybe wear masks. Maybe we shut the airplanes down again. The EU is saying wear masks. I mean, this just feels like the new distraction. They think the Iran war is going to get shut down. Flip the switch, go with a new pandemic. You have Fauci famously saying right before Robin Trump got in 10 years ago, don't worry, there'll be a new virus this year that'll challenge him. And then when Trump was getting back in a year and a half ago, again, Hotez and Fauci, don't worry, there'll be a new pandemic. They tried to hype monkeypox. They tried to hype bird flu. That didn't work to get the fear going. But, man, I'm seeing the same full court press. When you look at this cruise ship, I'm not saying it was staged, but there are reporters that cover this stuff and that follow it just for entertainment, the crazy antics of cruise ships. Any big cruise ship like this, you know the date, you look it up, you search the date, what the cruise was, you see everybody's videos of sunsets and getting drunk and, you know, complaining and doing reviews. There's nothing but two cruise travel reporters who put out very similar things. They don't post themselves. It goes right to CBS News and others. Two different stage penguin photos. And then everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Like it was just the thing to kind of prep. It doesn't make sense. And now how is hantavirus popping up all over the world? And how is it suddenly jumping from human to human? What's your take?
Well, so that's the big caveat, is that hantavirus, as far as I understand, was from mouse rat droppings to humans. And it wasn't human to human, with the exception of the Andes strain. I think it's like the Andy V strain, which coincidentally enough is the one that is now being identified as the strain on the ship. You know, and it's hilarious in a cynical way. I got three kids, Alex, and I'm driving one to school today. And she says, what's the deal with the hantavirus? And I was like, you're too young to remember this. We had monkeypox. We had Zika virus. We had anthrax. We had, you know, what were the other ones? One pandemic threat after another, one pandemic crisis after another. Then you had the swine flu. Then you had the avian flu. I mean, I told them they live. This is what they live for. If they don't have a crisis to manage, they don't have a job anymore. And now that I have lived through COVID, you understand. And once you fully appreciate this, you'll never look at it the same way. They don't need to have a real. And I'm saying this in a just a purely objective manner. They don't need to have a real pandemic to manufacture a pandemic. In COVID, now that we've lived through it, you know, it's arguable whether or not it was a deadly pandemic or a rebranding of a bad flu season. And it's not an accident. And nobody's going to convince me that COVID beat out the flu. That's why you had zero cases of flu, the influenza killing people in 2021. And it was all COVID. No one's going to convince me that that's the case because it's patently preposterous. But what you can do is manufacture it, just rebrand a bad flu season. Remember, we had one in 2018. Where it was, you know, shutting down hospitals in Canada because of the flu season. I want to say.
And then 2020 comes around, no global flu cases. But the amount of COVID cases exactly match the flu normally.
And then you try to have some doctors who are explanation experts, and I'll call them propagandists now, saying, well, yes, because what happens between two competing respiratory viruses, the more contagious one wins out. Bull crap. Once you find out they were diagnosing people who had died in motorcycle accidents as COVID, you understand exactly what they did. So now you go back to the hantavirus. You have a boat. By all accounts, it took off. Some of the explanations I've heard as to why there haven't been social media posts is that it's a boat of geriatrics, and they don't exactly post, you know, I don't like the explanation because it doesn't make sense. Geriatrics post a whole hell of a lot of crap to Facebook. But you got a boat and assume that there's an outbreak on the boat. What are they let everybody go home? Like, I'm not for quarantining healthy people. I'm not for quarantining.
By the way, exactly. You got some super strain of Hunter, which if it was, it suddenly appeared. They're saying gain of function. And then now just dump them off in Texas so we can have a whole hysteria there.
Oh yeah, and let them fly home so they can infect airlines. And like if that's the case, did they learn nothing from COVID? Like, yeah, one of the issues was allowing international flight out of China during COVID. So the bottom line, however, it doesn't have to even exist in order for them to say, well, now we've laid the brickwork or the groundwork. If you're building a story, people have left. Now let's go just recategorize any illness that we get in any part of the world as the Hantavirus, the Andy strain, that's human to human.
Well, that's right. Remember, people that died of heart attacks, motorcycle accidents, car wrecks, got run over, or had like three core morbidities. They did that with the this year and last year with the chicken pox. It would be like a person that had double cancer, heart attack. They would just say, "Oh, it was chicken pox," all to create fear.
Alex, they did it to the 14-year-old kid in Alberta who died from stage 4 brain cancer, was in a coma, but they tested him before he died or after he died, and he had COVID, and they chalked it up to COVID. It was Dina Henshaw, the health minister there, and it took the sister coming out publicly and saying, my brother had stage 4 brain cancer, was in a coma, and you blame that on COVID. Then they apologized. But if they did it once, they did it 1,000 times. So now you got this boat, you got, not another distraction, you've got these global institutions that, if they don't have a global crisis to manage, they're out of a job. And I always say this about government. It's a make-work project. If they don't make crises to manage, or if they don't have crises to manage, they have no job. So they have an incentive to make one, manufacture one, fabricate one, so they have a job. Why we still have anything to do with the World Health Organization and that weirdo, what's his name? I'm going to forget his name.
Tedros.
Tedros, yes. Why we have anything to do with these organizations, we know they're undemocratic is an understatement. They are the geopolitical international Karens of the world. We should have nothing to do with them. You go back to national policy, national politics when it comes to epidemics, when it comes to pandemics, alleged pandemics, and you get out of these globalist institutions that have one and one objective only, and that is global domination and micromanaging every government on earth. So all that to say, we'll see where it goes. The problem is you don't actually have to have a spread in order for them to manufacture the crisis.
No, I agree. But all I'm saying is I see all the key signs of another hysteria. They're clearly trying to use it, whether they manufacture it or jumping on the opportunity. Don't let a good crisis go to waste. You know, like Obama's former chief of staff said, regardless, they're trying it again. And suddenly this hantavirus is popping up everywhere. It's just asinine. And as you said, it's a particular strain that is able to supposedly get into humans. How is it popping up in places 10,000 miles away from each other? And, oh, now some are in Texas and some are there. Sounds like 12 monkeys. Here's a clip of Tedros that you talked about him.
Given the incubation period of the Andes virus, which can be up to 6 weeks, it's possible that more cases may be reported. While this is a serious incident, WHO assesses the public health risk as low. It also shows why the international health regulations exist and how they work. WHO is working with multiple governments and partners on the response under those regulations. Our priorities are to ensure the affected patients receive care, that the remaining passengers on the ship are kept safe and treated with dignity, and to prevent any further spread of the virus.
So here's the UN trying to have global treaties with global vaccine passports, with Bill Gates running it, and they admit for the standardization for the world ID. It's just a giant power grab for their social credit score system, they admit, and they need viruses, as the UN said decades ago, disease X, to bring in their world government. It's so obvious. In fact, it's not even obvious. They admit it.
Something struck me when Tedros was talking. 6 weeks incubation period? Like, I'm a neurotic person. Everybody knows that. My mother was even more neurotic, and that's probably why I have it. I know just a touch about the hantavirus. It wasn't the first time I ever heard of it, because my parents have a cottage, and it's filled with mice. It's up in, you know, the Quebec mountains. And I was like, all right, what's the worst that can happen if you inhale or eat mice poop? And I knew about it. 6 weeks, I don't know that anybody believes that 6 weeks is a reasonable incubation period to suggest. By all accounts, it's 2 to 3 weeks and typically around the lower range of that. But this guy and I wants to just pave the way, because they did it with COVID, right? They had to, you know, quarantine even healthy people to make sure they weren't sick during the incubation period.
And they can also set things like PCR test to a higher level to get false positives.
Absolutely. I mean, we learned about the cycle rates where it was detecting basically dead former infection particles. And now they're going to like just get us used to the idea of a 6 week incubation period, which might require 6 week isolation period. These people, A, they were wrong pretty much about everything. B, we know that they were effectively enabling. I don't want to call them criminals, because I want to try to be fair and not hyperbolic. These are people who participated in criminal cover-ups of criminal gain-of-function research, where they were telling us what we were saying was wrong and what they were saying was right, and in the end, it was inverted 180 degrees. They were always wrong about everything they said, and they were arguably wrong because they're trying to protect the interests of the global interests that they
sure represent. And we didn't even have AI at the level it is during COVID. Imagine, you know, China put on this whole show. Others did. They locked things down. They had kids in band, you know, play their music from bubbles, and people had to hug loved ones through plastic and all the rest of the show stuff. Now with AI, who knows what we're going to get fed here?
Hi. Do you remember the videos of people dropping dead during Zoom meetings from a purported respiratory virus? I mean, I wasn't saying that I was believing it at the time. I wasn't believing that.
You're too smart, though. The listeners are smart, too, but for new listeners, respiratory is slow. You can't breathe. You go to the hospital. You finally die. You don't just, I got a virus. Ugh, respiratory, you fall over.
During a teaching conference, I won't blame it on the vaccine either, because the jab, it hadn't come out yet by then. No, look, during COVID, they had me scared for about 2 weeks when we were on the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Look at this crap. They had me scared. I'm a neurotic person in general and a hypochondriac and afraid of death in general. But after about 2 weeks, I realized this was all a load of shit, especially when they were locking the outdoor dog runs, because that's where the virus spread. So
they closed all the parks in all over the country. And
they zip tied the swings together. And then when people were cutting the zip ties, then they removed the swings from the chains. And I remember getting dirty looks from my neighbors up in Canada when we were out in the playground playing, allowing our kids to play with other kids.
And then the liquor stores and Walmart and stripper clubs are open, but churches, they were beating up the pastors in Canada.
Churches were locked down. AA meetings were locked down, but you know, you could get your alcohol. Having seen it, I'll never unsee it.
Remember, they said in Australia, don't look at the sun. New Zealand, don't talk to your neighbors. And then in California, the governor said, you can go to church now after about a year, but don't sing. But when Black Lives Matter marches, that's good to stop the pandemic.
We had a woman, I think it was our chief medical officer, talking about having sex through a hole in a wall or a bag or in a position where your mouths don't touch. It was lunacy. The only problem, Alex, which is why I say, like, you know, we're smart people, but even smart people don't learn sometimes. What we saw as the COVID frenzy during COVID, we saw the iteration of it during Ukraine and the Ukraine-Russian war, and people fell for it. I think to some extent we've seen a little bit of it in the Iran conflict, and people are falling for it yet again. I wouldn't be half shocked. We're now, going to be 7 years out? The life cycle of viral videos on the internet is about 7 years, because you get a new generation of viewers that come in and they didn't see it before. You know, I'm afraid that we're going to have a new generation of people who didn't live through the COVID hysteria, who are not going to be able to identify it, who are going to fall in line yet again with the hantavirus or whatever the hell they're going to call it the next time. They will never get me ever again. And at some point in time, also, people are going to have to realize the risk of living with a virus is a necessity. It's not a risk. And the risk of giving up your rights.
You got a million times better chance of dying in a car wreck than a virus. It's all fear. It's not based in reality. It's like little kids scared of monsters under the bed. And I'll just say this. I don't know whether it's mutated. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if this is all staged. But I know the look of a PR rollout, and I know they're trying to create hysteria. I don't think that's deniable.
But no, at this point, you know, whether or not it even spreads, they're going to try to capitalize off of or rebrand.
That's why he's kicking out 6 weeks. Like, oh, you know, we got a lot.
Oh, 6 weeks. So what are we now? We're in May. So by mid-June, they're going to say, oh, something's happening. And now we can attribute it to this boat that we let the, if we knew that there was an infection on the boat, we let them all go home, fly and whatever. And oh, now the airlines have got it. Now they're going to just find, if they want to, sick people from wherever, rebranded as whatever. And I imagine hantavirus in certain places, whether it's the Andy strain or just people living among rats and rodents, it's not unheard of. And so now you're
and they'll be able to find some real cases. All right. I appreciate you. Great job. People should follow you on X right now. Where's the best place to find you?
The Viva Fry on X, Rumble, 3 o'clock. I'm live daily on Rumble. And I got a good show today because we're going to talk about some of the AI demonetizing channels on YouTube, and I'm going to talk about the Kyle Serafin hit piece that came out of Just the News.
They did a hit piece on me that I tried to shoot an employee in the head. Totally made up. None of it happened.
The problem is it's so stupid to anybody who knows, but nobody knows. People read the headlines, and now you got, you know, the other big mouth players just retweeting it. Oh my goodness, would you look at the headline? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to have Kyle on. But
Great. We'll have you back soon. Kyle's on tomorrow. Thank you so much, brother.
Godspeed. Thank you.
All right. Mike Adams is loaded for bear on these AI data centers and what's really going on with that. The UFO disclosure, the Iran situation coming to a head. Such a huge, I mean, huge third hour. Now, briefly, this is the Alex Jones Network. We need to expand the network. We need funds. Go to the alexjonesstore.com. Get the very best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel. And you can also go to alexjoneslive.com, our new news site with the videos, the articles, all of it. Because people are asking for this, so we got it. You want to contribute $5, $10, $100, $1,000? You can contribute, and that way we get, after the credit card fees, you know, 95% of it. And it will go in to expanding the network, our legal operations against the deep state and everything. I need your support. I can't do this. You can give a one-time donation. You can sign up and give repeated, cancel any time, one click. Please commit to support this broadcast. We're changing the world. They got a new pandemic they're trying. All this stuff's happening. You need us on the air. We helped shut down the COVID fraud. We're getting ready to do it again with this. We need your support. Stand up for yourself and fight by supporting a group that's proven it knows how to take down the globalists. Go to alexjoneslive.com right now and click on the contribute button. Thank you so much. Stay with us. Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching alexjoneslive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, alexjoneslive.com, and the link, alexjonesapp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.